This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Right now, get the lowest price at EdenPure.com with code word GRACE. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another fun-filled day of the Grace Curley Show. Tons to get to, as always, so let's get right into it. I was inspired yesterday, as I often am, by one of our callers. And I have to say, Jerry, that's probably since we started, the thing that impresses me the most is just how brilliant some of these callers are who call in every day and just offer us their insights. And we had this woman call up and she said, you know, these federal employees and these hacks and these left-wing celebrities, they don't help anyone. You know, if they stopped going to work tomorrow, we'd all be okay. They're not really doing anything. And I was really sitting with that all day, and I was thinking, that's so true. Like Dr. Fauci, you look up highest paid federal employee, there's Dr. Fauci, numero uno. And then you see the other people at the CDC, and every single day, new things are coming out. Whether it's mistakes they've made, they're walking back guidances. I saw one today, Jared, that was very alarming, that the CDC walked back a statement its director made, its director being Rochelle Walensky, Dr. Rochelle Walensky. You guys remember her because she had that off-the-cuff moment where she talked about impending doom. We have yet to see that. The numbers are still going down, but she predicted impending doom.
Science will tell the tale on that one.
Yeah, you're right. We shouldn't rush to judgment. Its director made on Friday about the agency's recommendations surrounding the COVID-19 vaccine during pregnancy, clarifying that the agency's recommendation for pregnant people considering the vaccine has not changed. Speaking at a White House COVID-19 briefing on Friday, Rochelle said that the CDC recommends that pregnant people receive the COVID-19 vaccine, citing a new study that found no evidence to suggest that either Pfizer or Moderna poses risk during pregnancy. On Tuesday, the agency walked back that recommendation. So from Friday to Tuesday, there was probably a lot of pregnant women who got the vaccine. When you think about the country as a whole, I'm sure there was a good number. Those are the kind of mistakes that if this had been under Trump's watch would have, you know, the liberals would have their hair on fire. But because it's under Biden, you know, it's evolving. We're figuring things out as we go. And then you have other studies coming out about the masks in outside. There's rumors that Charlie Baker is going to lift the outdoor mask mandate. And I just keep thinking to myself, well, yeah, I was outside this weekend and I'm looking at people with the masks on and I'm like, what is happening? It's a beautiful day. Suck in some fresh air. It's not going to kill you. But then I see that everything Dr. Scott Atlas said, now you guys remember Scott Atlas, he was part of the White House COVID team, and he was a frequent guest on the Howie Carr Show before he got to the White House, and he was honest. He's just a logical guy, and they tried to ruin him. I'm going to read you a piece about this from the Federalist later, but between the media and the Democrats, they really tried to paint him as a psychopath, like a doctor who's just going off the ledge saying crazy things. And then it turns out, like Jared said, the science tale plays out in the end, and it turns out that Atlas was pretty dead on about everything he said. And then you look at a bigger scale of this incompetency and the ineptitude of the people that we're supposed to be listening to. And of course, the story that's on the top of my mind has to be John Forbes Curry. So I called Howie up today and I said, I know that you usually join us for the car crossover around 2:50, but if you don't mind, could we get two doses of Howie Carr today? Because I would like to have his take on John Kerry. Nobody bashes JFK, either one, but right now we're talking about John Forbes, like Howie Carr. And so Howie's going to join us at 1:05. But if you've missed this story, it's pretty remarkable. John Kerry, according to leaked tapes, informed the Iranian foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, about Israel attacking Iranian interests in Syria at least 200 times. Now, Jared, I did not ask for this, so I might have to wait on it a second, but if we could get the cut up, Jen Psaki answering these questions yesterday. Her answer was a non-answer, as always. But it's interesting because this story comes out about John Kerry. And when you look at what we've done over the last 4 years with President Trump, and anytime there was any inclination that he was talking to foreign leaders in a way he shouldn't, which, by the way, it was all fake news, but they would, you know, have an impeachment trial and the whole nine yards. And then you look at probably a more infuriating case would be Michael Flynn. They ruined this guy's life. And now we have a case of John Kerry where he actually, if all reports are true, was discussing with Iran the covert operations of Israel, our ally. And this is where it gets really interesting, because Kerry comes out and he unequivocally denies that anything happened. Okay, he says, absolutely not. That never happened. That's very, very fake news. And then Ben Rhodes, another Mensa member, he's just, you know, complete genius, Ben Rhodes. And if you guys, I hate to keep going back and bringing up all these Obama memories, but Ben Rhodes was a huge part of the Iranian nuclear deal. And he actually bragged about how easy it was to pull one over on all the young reporters during the Obama administration, because none of them had ever done anything. They were all 20-something-year-olds. So he was able to kind of charm this deal into the press and get good reviews of it, I guess, because people were so gullible. So naturally, he's a big John Kerry fan. I mean, if you helped with the Iranian deal, you're going to think this is your hero. This is John Forbes Kerry. Ben Rhodes writes, Republicans pretending to be outraged about John Kerry talking about things that were widely and publicly known at the time is the classic disinformation campaign. Try to launder a lie through sufficient right-wing media outrage to get mainstream attention. Once again, it's all our fault. You know, Kerry doesn't have to answer for anything. We're seizing, we're pouncing, we're weaponizing. But Stephen Miller brings up a great point. John Kerry denied saying these things that now Ben Rhodes is saying were commonly known at the time. So which one is it? Did he say it or did he not say it? And National Review has a great piece on why his denial on leaking to Iran doesn't add up. And I'm actually going to read this part of it right here, because I know the story's a little in the weeds, but it's important that people know this, because I'm not surprised. I write about John Kerry all the time and his colossal failures and what seems to me to be a real hate for America. And I don't say that lightly, but if you look at the things that he's gotten through, it's kind of amazing that this guy is still around in politics. No one voted for him. That's why he lost the 2004 presidential election. Nobody likes him. But he always seems to be there. He's like a bad penny. The recording in question captures Mr. Zarif speaking for hours to an interviewer, producing an oral history of the current Iranian administration. Kerry has to tell me, now this is the quote, that's in question. Kerry has to tell me that Israel has attacked you 200 times in Syria, says Mr. Zarif, who complains in the recording that Iran's military has long kept him in the dark on crucial matters. You did not know, the interviewer asked twice. Both times, Mr. Zarif replies, no, no. And the point of Jim Garrity's article in National Review is that John Kerry and Mohammad Javad Zarif were friendly. You know, that was like John Kerry's most trusted ally in Iran. So it wouldn't really make sense that Zarif would turn on John Kerry. And another point he makes when you listen to the context of this and you actually look at the way Zarif said it, he wasn't really saying it in the context of, and John Kerry's such an idiot and a blabbermouth, he leaked on Israel to me. He was really saying, and can you imagine that I was so kept in the dark that John Kerry had to tell me this? And there is a difference there. But once again, just the most amazing thing is that John Kerry is allowed to do any of this. That he's given any sort of responsibility. We will move on from this a little bit throughout the course of the show because I have other things I want to talk about. I do want to talk about the mask mandates. I do want to talk about Woca-Cola, and I have tons of sound to get to. But, oh, and so this is Jen Psaki yesterday when asked about these tapes in which Zarif says that John Kerry basically ratted out Israel. And John Kerry is telling this information to the Iranian foreign minister.
So the first one is, in tapes obtained by the New York Times, Iran's foreign minister says that former Secretary of State John Kerry informed him that Israel attacked Iranian interests at least 200 times. You know, as the secretary has shifted roles, he still continues to represent United States on a world stage. Does the president have any comment or reaction to Kerry telling the Iranians about covert military action on the part of Israel?
We're not going to comment on leaked tapes.
Okay.
So let's go over all of the crazy ways. This is what we're going to do in the next hour. Let's go over all the crazy ways they're trying to spin this. One, they're not going to comment because the tapes are leaked. Two, it's because John Kerry never said this and it's a complete lie. Or three, the Ben Rhodes theory, this was all public information anyway, so even if John Kerry said it, it doesn't matter. But I always go back to what Howie says, which is, why does John Kerry hate Israel so much? That to me is kind of, I'm a little confused. I honestly, I'm starting to think he just hates America based off everything that he's done over the last 50-something years in politics. Now, I want to take your calls on this. I know we have people who have plenty of opinions on John Kerry. So 844-500-4242 or any of these incompetent officials that nobody elected who are controlling our lives and making these big decisions and putting us in harm's way. Hotels, vets, dentists all have purchased multiple units of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, which is why Eden Pure has brought back the 3-pack for this week only. You can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. You'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. That means you can have one for your basement, one for your kitchen, one for your car, wherever you need them, or you can give one to a friend who's been wanting to try it. These are highly effective. They're great for everything. If you love to cook, but you don't like the smell to linger, if you'd like to open up your windows and keep the air circulating, it's a fabulous product. And it's also very important right now because pollen is everywhere, dust is everywhere, and if you suffer with allergies, this is a time that can be kind of tough.
Yes, and today is very high in pollen, but the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is great because what it does is it actually cleans the air around you. It doesn't cover up odors, it eliminates odors, and it eliminates viruses, it eliminates allergens, different things that are in the air, pollution, so that way you're breathing clean air, which is huge if you have allergies.
Other air purifiers can cost up to $600 for just one unit. They can be big and bulky and expensive, and a lot of them don't work as well as this small product right here. And other products, you're not going to find something this effective, this small, this inexpensive, and that will change your life this much. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 on their special 3-pack. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE3. The 3-pack is for this week only. Now, warning, I am having Howie Carr on at 1 o'clock, so that section of the show is going to be all John Kerry, but I want to get your take before we have the captain on. Are you infuriated by this story? Do you not think it's a big deal? Do you believe the Iranian foreign minister or do you believe John Kerry? 844-500-4242. Let's talk. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show.
This hour of the Grace Curley Show is brought to you by the Howie Carr VIP Studio Experience. Tickets are available now with experiences beginning in May. To order, go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on the VIP tab.
Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back, everyone. The CDC says fully vaccinated people don't need to wear masks outside. You don't say. And they have a picture of Rochelle. I think we need to get some Seinfeld cuts of that. Rochelle. She says that, well, they just have her picture on. I don't know if she's actually saying any of this, but they're saying that if you're fully vaxxed, you do not need to wear your masks outside. And it makes sense. Dr. Scott Atlas was telling us that a couple months ago. It's kind of a shame more people didn't take him seriously. I love this little part at the end, though. This is from Axios. What they're saying, CDC cannot provide the specific risk level for every activity in every community. So it is important to consider your own personal situation. You know, Jared, call me crazy, but no one can provide anyone the specific risk level of anything in any community for every activity for any person. That's called life.
Nope, but Joe Biden's going to try to give it a number. He'll be speaking on this later today, apparently.
That's a standing headline. You know what I mean? We can't tell you whether or not you're going to be 100% safe for the rest of your life everywhere you go at every moment. Yeah, I know. That's kind of the risk we take when we walk outside every single day. All right, let's get back to John Kerry here. Today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. From the MAGA dark roast to their drain the swamp medium roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. To order today, go to doyoucovfefe.com. It's Covfefe. Don't support one of those liberal, crazy coffee places. Support, like we always say, stop giving your money to people who hate you. Give your money to some good, credulous boomer rubes. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which unelected hack is doing the most damage? Dr. Fauci, John Kerry, Jen Psaki, or Dr. Rochelle Walensky?
Well, Dr. Rochelle definitely is doing some damage if she's telling pregnant women to get the vaccine and then 5 days later telling them not to. Dr. Fauci, I mean, that goes without saying. John Kerry making a comeback here with this story about Iran. And then who was the last one? Oh, Jen Psaki. She's just, you know, I don't think anyone's buying what she's selling. I'm going to say Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci is in the lead at 57%.
Ooh.
Second place is Jean-Philippe Curry at 38%. Jen Psaki polling at 5%. And Dr. Rochelle Walensky, big ol' zero.
All righty, we got full lines. Everyone, feel free to keep calling in. We'll keep taking your calls on John Kerry, but let's go to Dave. Dave, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, I just want to say I do believe that John Kerry did say what he said. And if anything, this administration has shown me, no matter who you are, Eric Swalwell, Maxine Waters, Cuomo, you can get away with this stuff. Unless you're a police officer doing your job, you're going to get off scot-free.
Yeah, that is kind of the part of it that drives me crazy. I was talking to my parents this morning, and, you know, if this is true, and I agree with Dave, I fully believe that John Kerry was totally speaking out of turn. I mean, he was having meetings with foreign people, like foreign leaders, when Trump was president. And Trump was saying how traitorous that behavior was then. But to Dave's point, it does kind of feel like, well, nothing's ever going to happen. These Democrats do seem to be untouchable. They can get away with whatever. Now, if you're Michael Flynn, you got to sell your house. You know, you got to give all your life savings to your lawyers. Your life is completely in shatters, or in tatters, I should say, because you dared to support Donald Trump. There is a huge double standard. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys, I think John Kerry's going to be, you know, walking around in an orange jumpsuit. We all know that's not going to happen. But still, it does put the administration in a tricky situation because there's a lot of levels to this scandal. It's like a tiramisu. We'll be back on the other side, 844-500-4242. Give me your hot take on Kerry. I'll be taking them for the rest of the hour. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Big news today in Massachusetts. Jared, I'm going to let you deliver this great news to the listeners.
All right. Effective. This is according to Boston 25 News. Effective May 29th, just in time for Memorial Day. Gathering limits increase in the Commonwealth. 200 people indoors, 250 people outdoors. Wineries and breweries can reopen.
You sounded like Andy Sowie.
Andy Sowie. Wineries, breweries can reopen. Food orders no longer required. Seated service is required and a limit of 10 people per table. So that's effective May 29th. However, BizJournals.com, Massachusetts plans to lift all COVID-19 limits on business in August.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'm happy. I know, guys. It's been ridiculous from the very start, but I would be lying if I didn't say this feels so, so good. Thank God. Now, the only thing I'm worried about is that I was actually talking to Taylor about this today. People who want to keep the masks on after they don't have to anymore, those people, I think we need to, I think they should be part of a science experiment because there's something going on with those kind of people. If you enjoy having this thing on your face, if it makes you feel safe, bigger fish to fry, for sure, bigger fish to fry. So I will talk about that. If people, how do you feel? Are you excited? I know I'm really excited. I have a wedding in November that I'm hoping can be very normal and non-COVID-y. And so I'm very excited about this news, but I want to hear what you guys think. Do you believe it, or are you kind of like me? You'll believe it when you see it. Because that's the thing, Jared. Charlie Baker can say whatever he wants, but then, you know, if case numbers start going up, we might have to, you know, roll it back a little bit. That was my weak, weak Charlie Baker impression. Not up to snuff. But my point is, I can't really trust them with anything. And yet, this is a good sign. Now, I did say we were going to talk a little bit here about John Kerry, which I want to continue with. There's a good story here. And it's by Ed Morrissey, and he says, talk about burying the lead. The New York Times got information that a high-ranking official in the Obama administration tipped off Iran to Israel's covert actions, and that news ended up in paragraph 21 in a 26-paragraph story. It's kind of like when there's a sex scandal in politics, and it's a Democrat. You'll figure out what party they belong to in like the last sentence of the story. A leaked audio recording of Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif reveals that John Kerry revealed that information to Tehran, presumably during the negotiations for the deal with Iran over its nuclear weapons development. Now, here's the quote from the New York Times. Again, paragraph 21 in a 26-paragraph story. Former Secretary of State John Kerry informed him that Israel had attacked Iranian interests in Syria at least 200 times, to his astonishment, Mr. Zarif said. Now, that's the part of it. The timeline is interesting because Ben Rhodes, who right when I mentioned him, our text line kind of lit up with Ben Rhodes' comments. People remember him fondly, needless to say. He defended John Kerry by saying all the information in this story that John Kerry told Zarif was public information at that point. But why would he be astonished? I don't get the sense, and I'm curious if other people agree with me, I don't get the sense that this guy, Zarif, is lying. Because when you really read what he's saying, which Jim Garrity points out in a great piece in National Review, he's not saying it as a dig at John Kerry. He's saying it that he's saying it as in, I'm angry that I didn't know about this. You know, I'm angry that John Kerry had to be the one to tell me. By Iranian standards, Zarif is one of the nicer guys, one who is more eager to engage with the West. And to the extent Kerry has a maybe friend is putting it too strongly, but to the extent Kerry has a reliable partner in that Iranian regime, Zarif is the guy. Now, this is true. Him and Zarif are pretty tight. So why would he rat out John Kerry? He was saying it as more of a, yeah, and that's how out of the loop I was, that John Kerry had to tell me this. And John Kerry, of course, tweeted out that he had, this is totally false, this is bogus, unequivocally. You can't even find a more John Kerry word. Unequivocally false. This never, ever happened. And it will be interesting to see if anyone else asked Jen Psaki about this. I know she can't comment because it's a leaked tape. It's kind of like the Hunter Biden story, you know. It can't be verified, so we can't comment on it. But some people don't care that it's a leaked tape. Some people are making their opinions known despite that. Senator Dan Sullivan commented on John Kerry, and I want to play this cut because I agree with him, Jared. I do think that the idea of Kerry resigning is not going to happen. That's kind of insane. Because if anything, John Kerry is very comfortable with having epic failures on display. He just keeps trudging along. He fails upwards. But let's hear what Dan Sullivan has to say. Cut one.
Madam President, I rise today on the Senate floor to call for the resignation of John Kerry as a member of the Biden administration's National Security Council. Now, Madam President, I don't do this lightly. As a matter of fact, in my entire time in the Senate, I've never called for anyone's resignation. But his record, John Kerry's record of undermining working families and working against American national security interests is too much to bear. He needs to go.
And there's been a lot of talk from people about this return to normalcy. And immediately I was thinking, all right, so Joe Biden, it's not a stretch to say when they say return to normalcy, it's a return to the Obama years. It's a lot of the same people, the same hacks. And so when I think of the Obama years, Jared, and I'd be curious to hear what you think, because you're a little bit older than me, but I just think of the recession and I just think of the economy being really sluggish and a lot of people being out of work. But what I kind of forgot about over time was the apology tour and how anti-American a lot of his stances were. And so to that point, I want to say this is a return to normalcy. If normalcy is undermining American goals and our national security, then yeah, we are right back where we used to be.
Yeah, it is literally a bad sequel to the Obama administration. You know, it's like Caddyshack 2, you know, when they replaced Rodney Dangerfield, and nothing against Jackie Mason, but when they replaced Rodney Dangerfield and you're watching it, you're like, yeah, okay, it kind of feels the same way, but it's, and not that the first Obama administration was good. I mean, that was more Ishtar than anything else, but it's the same crap. It's the same stuff that we saw for 4 years didn't work, and now you're trying to do it again, and that's what's infuriating.
8 years.
No, I mean, for the 4 years of Trump.
Well, and to what you're saying, another part of it is that I think because we had Trump for that 4 years, it's really, there was this idea during the Obama administration where people were really sick of it, but, you know, you kind of just, you didn't think there was ever going to be a change. You thought this was just politics. This is how it goes. You got to kind of suck it up. And then we got 4 years of Trump, and we were told that when Trump was running by people like Nancy Pelosi that he could never do it because he's not a politician and there's things they understand that the regular people, the regular Joe Schmo business guy or celebrity would never be able to accomplish. He doesn't have the mind for it. You know, it's real, real rocket science, the stuff they do. Trump came in and he blew up that narrative. He said, no, we actually can run this like a business. Here's how. You know, and he, not saying everything was perfect, But I think that now that we've had that 4 years, it makes this even more painful because we're like, wait, we're doing this again? We know how this plays out.
Yeah, that was the ultimate red pill, was the 4 years of Trump. Everybody just got used to, because from 1990, really, I mean, if you want to say George H.W. Bush started this globalist push, fine. But really, you had Clinton for 8 years, Bush for 8 years, Obama for 8 years. You were going to have Hillary for 8 years. And it was just this just slow boiling crushing of what really you didn't even really consider was being taken away from you. It was becoming the norm, the graft, the American apology tour, the enriching yourself and your friends, you know, giving away all this wealth to other nations. And it just became so normal that you were used to it. And then Trump came along and it wasn't that. And you're like, whoa, okay. So it really did open people's eyes to the fact that we were kind of lulled into this sort of sheep style just existence. Oh, this is, you know, this is what it is in government. And I blame, obviously, the media, too, because, I mean, the pedestal on which they put Obama and the pedestal on which they put Clinton is really what it replaced heroes with politicians, you know, and that's just it was so bad.
You know,
do that.
You know, Jared, you just made such a great point, and it makes me think of a story I read today, which really had me laughing. And I'm gonna break here because I want to read it to everyone on the other side. Do you agree with us? Are you sick of this? Or do you think that John Kerry said this? I have no doubt, honestly.
I
would 100% bet my life on it that
he said it. This.
He's such a fraud. So we'll get back to this on the other side. 844-500-4242. The Biden administration's policies and executive orders are already causing some economic disturbance. We just talked a little bit about some of the ruin that he is creating. He is just a complete disaster. Tax laws are going to change. Your tax burden on selling real estate will grow. I've heard a lot of people asking about this, you know, how much he's going to hurt their end game if they're trying to sell something. Don't get caught flat-footed and squander the equity in your real estate built up over years or even decades. Sell today with J.J. Manning. For over 40 years, J.J. Manning has been the leading auction house in New England. From high-end homes to estates to commercial properties throughout New England, J.J. Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency-free. They always do really, really, really well in Mass Lawyers Weekly. They've been voted number one for 4 consecutive years because they have a huge following of bidders who pay cash. When you sell with the broker, you pay the commission, but in an auction, the buyer pays. These are treacherous times in the real estate market. They really are. Some sectors are at all-time highs. Others are losing ground. Here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to wait until Joe Biden destroys this sector of the economy, too, before you cash out. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com. There's 2 ways you can contact them. Call them today at 1-800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. I see you guys on the line. We will take your calls, and I'll read you a little bit of this story that really goes along with what Jared is saying, which is the media. The media was, if you can believe this, was harder on Obama. And he had some softballs thrown at him. Jim Acosta's best week ever question comes to mind. But even compared to that, Joe Biden is getting a complete pass. And he's not even hiding the radical nature of his policies and his executive orders. We're going to talk about this on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome to the Grace Curley Show. Let's go right to the calls here. Ann, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ann.
Hi, Grace. I want to say I think you're doing a great job on the show, and you have a gift for finding good topics.
Thank you.
But I wanted to talk about John Kerry, because I've had involvement with him when he was way back. I think he was a representative in Massachusetts, but we had a serious environmental problem, and he did nothing to help, even though we asked him, because he was more He was thinking more about his votes that were in a larger city, not a smaller town where I was. And he was very disappointing. And then lo and behold, he was the guest speaker at my grad reunion at Boston College about 6 years ago, and I was in the front row because we were on the honor guard, and all he talked about was climate change.
Oh.
And clearly, it's true. It was so annoying, and he clearly doesn't have an interest unless it suits him. And the other thing is, I don't know if you heard that he actually has Jewish heritage.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I
haven't said anything about it.
Yeah, and no, you know what? I was actually saving that, but I was saving it for Howie. Howie is baffled by this because I think John Kerry's brother has actually converted to Judaism. So there's a lot of history in his own family where you'd think he would have some respect and... you'd think he'd be a fan of Israel, but he's clearly not. And thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it. I can honestly envision that. I can envision sitting front row watching John Kerry drone on and on about climate change.
Absolutely, profoundly, absolutely, globally, is absolutely this way.
Unequivocally. I unequivocally did not say that. But I think that that's part of why I believe this story so much is because it fits, you know? It's not out of character. We know that he's a big fan of Iran. We know that he has a penchant for opening his mouth when he shouldn't. He's gaff prone. He's a blabbermouth. And why wouldn't he say this? It's not like it's something that's really out of character for him. You know what I'm saying? Pat, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, Grace. Great show.
Thank you.
And Howie are really killing it.
Oh, thank you so much, Pat.
Hey, sure. You know, you were talking earlier about Trump and how he turned things around and how he showed the country something different, different path. And I think, you know, he showed us the way with term limits, because I'm telling you, these guys have been in office for 50 years and haven't changed a thing. Now, we've been told that term limits, you know, you can't have that because you need experience in government. You need experience to run the country. Trump shows up, no experience, nothing. Guy takes over and turns this country around.
Exactly. You know? Exactly, Pat. And that's what they hate so much about him. My mom one time said it to me, and I never forgot because I thought she put it in a really great way. She said they were all playing house, and he came along and ruined their game. He flipped over the tables and said, no more. Like, this has been really fun. You guys have run this scheme for a long time. You've all made yourselves real rich off the backs of the regular tax-paying American citizen, but no more. The game is up. The gig is up. And they did not like that. And it makes sense why. I mean, you're running the biggest scam. You're just making so much money off of these idiot taxpayers, you know, who are sheep. We've seen that. I mean, I hate to say it, guys. We're sheep. And you've got a great thing going. And then this guy comes along and he ruins it. He ruined their fun, and it's their party, and they'll cry if they want to. I want to read this one quote here, though. This piece, the guy, who's the author? Gerard Baker, he compares Biden to FDR, and he says, FDR had a famously complacent press covering him, but even he might have blanched at the deference shown by Mr. Biden's media guardians. Newspapers, he talks about how newspapers eventually criticized FDR for wanting to pack the Supreme Court. Today's friendly stenographers don't see the problem at all and faithfully convey the White House line that the same idea is a much needed reform. And then he goes on to make Jared's point, which is, you know, we are in a throwback stage now. This is Obama 2.0. Thank you so much to all the callers. We're going to be talking to Howie Carr about John Kerry. And then later in the show, I do want to get to climate change. I want to get to the real red meat of this issue, if you catch my drift. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.